today, we're taking a break from Sermon on the Mount. We're talking about shepherding. Last week, I tried to tease you with saying, how does shepherding and Mother's Day and Methuselah all fit together? That's a riddle, isn't it? Well, I'm going to try and answer the riddle for you today with what I can see from Scripture. I've learned much even in just preparing this today about how God has ways to prepare us, even for times to come, with incredible templates from history that we can learn from. And so I'm going to start off today by just sharing with you from Genesis chapter 5, going way back to the beginning, Genesis chapter 5, verse 18. Today we have people living up to 100, maybe 103, I think records 112, something like that. But listen to these people's lives from the early times of creation. Genesis chapter 5, starting verse 18. And Jared lived 162 years, and he begat Enoch. And Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. And Enoch lived 65 years, and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters, and all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And Methuselah lived 187 years and begat Lamech. And Methuselah lived after he begat Lamech 782 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. And Lamech lived 182 years and begat a son. And he called his son Noah, saying, "This same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands, because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed." And Lamech lived after he begat Noah 595 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Let's pray. Dear God, we ask that as we study your word today, show us how incredible you have prepared ways for us to manage the big events that this earth has gone through and will be going through. Teach us, I pray, by your Holy Spirit. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're going to see what we can learn here today from these lives. Now, the seventh generation from Adam, Adam was the first man God created. Seventh generation from Adam was Enoch. Get those words mixed up. Enoch was a raptured preacher. I'm going through your outline here. What was parenting like before the flood? Enoch was a raptured preacher. We don't have any of the wives' names. We don't have any of the mothers' names here. But you knew there were mothers because look how many people were being born. And at amazing ages of life. Enoch, seventh generation from Adam. He lived 365 years. 1 year for every day that takes us to go around the sun on average. And then the next generation was Methuselah. Maybe just before we, let's look at Jude chapter 1, verse 14 to 16. There's only one chapter in Jude anyway, but to just help you understand how Scripture verifies Scripture, Jude in the verse 14 says, "And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these things, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and all of their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. Admire certain people because it brings us benefit. That was the days of Enoch, the parenting before the flood. Let's see what we can learn as we go through this. So Methuselah then came along, and his name meant something very fascinating. It meant, when he died, judgment. Methuselah's name, given to him by his father Enoch, who was a great preacher, said that when this son dies, judgment will fall. And it was fascinating that Methuselah died, as according to tradition, right at the time when God told Noah to enter the ark, 7 days before he closed the doors, and the ark was then put to float by the floods that occurred. 7 days of mourning was the tradition when someone died. Methuselah died 7 days of mourning and then the flood. His name was fulfilled. Now, if you were named that and you knew that was coming, and you believed God had spoken through your father Enoch, demonstrated by the fact that Enoch was the first one ever raptured, taken off into heaven. He walked with God. He was a preacher of God's truth. And his son had an amazing name and almost a mission built into his name that his life would be the warning to all of humanity of God's coming judgment. Turn away from your wicked ways. That was Methuselah. It's interesting to note that the one who God had assigned to carry the name of coming judgment lived the longest, demonstrating the incredible long-suffering mercy of God. 900, I'm waiting for you to turn to me. The ninth generation was Lamech. His name, strong, humiliation. He actually died 5 years before the flood. It's interesting to note, too, just going back to Methuselah, that in the timeline of ancestry in Genesis, Methuselah lived concurrently with Adam for 243 years. 243 years Methuselah walked this earth having the opportunity to speak with Adam, his great-great-great-great-great-grandfather. What was it like when you first woke up after being created? What was it like when you first woke up and was introduced to Eve? What was it like in the garden? What was it like when you were kicked out of the garden? What was it like to experience guilt and shame for the first time? Tremendous dialogues would have occurred between Methuselah and Adam. Lamech, 777 years, an interesting number. And then from Lamech we have Noah. And Noah, too, is a preacher. Noah was given by God a very special mission. And it was not because he was just randomly chosen. It was because he was a righteous man. You have a series of generations here of what seemed to be righteous men. Genesis chapter 6, verse 3 says, "And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. So the flood hit when Noah was 600. 120 years earlier, God had concluded humanity is on the wrong track. I'll have no other choice but to judge them. So when Noah was 480 years, God said, I'm going to have to come up with a plan here to deal with this evil humanity. And at 500 years old, he already had commissioned Noah to the task of building an ark. Of course, the area that he lived in, and that was basically the world, it was the continents all put together into one at that point in history on the face of the globe, there was no rain. There was humidity, there was moisture, but there was no rain. And here he is being commissioned by God to build an ark that would need water to float on. You know, sometimes we get projects in life. The wife says, I want a new kitchen. And the man goes, oh, no. I want a garden. I want to redo the landscaping. Oh, no. Can you imagine being given a project by God that says, go build this giant ark? Had the capacity to hold 520 train cars full of cargo. 520 train cars. You know, when you stand at the crossings here in Langley and you watch the cars, the train cars go by patiently, probably. I've counted up to 110 train cars on one of those trains. I actually sat there and I said, how long are these? And I started counting. 110 train cars. Well, five of those full would have fit into the ark. That's an amazing capacity. So Noah had this project to build it. 1 Peter chapter 3. Stay with me. I'm building a case here, similar to what I often do, because there's a great kind of punchline coming at the end. 1 Peter 3:20. Which sometimes were disobedient people. When once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. The flood was an incredible judgment. I went through demographers to study, well, how many people were alive on the earth at the time that the flood hit? It's anticipated through the study of fertility and the number of years that people were childbearing that there could have been a minimum of 2 billion people to a potential of 10 billion people living on the earth. Now, you know how many people are living on the earth today? About 8 plus. That's the latest number I have, 8 plus. More people on the earth then than there are now, potentially. All of them related. Right? They're all related. Now, can you imagine? Enoch had more sons and daughters. Methuselah had more sons and daughters. Lamech had more sons and daughters. Noah had the three. All of those nieces and nephews and grandchildren and great-grandchildren that had come out of those families. And that's just one group of families from off the face of the earth. And as a parent, Enoch preached. Methuselah preached. They saw their grandkids get swept up into the culture of the day. Knowing judgment was coming, pleading with them, turn around. Obey God, our Creator. Can you imagine Methuselah knowing the day he dies, judgment falls, the ark is sitting there waiting. All these that are my family, kids, grandkids, great-grandkids, nieces, nephews, will be wiped out. Except for 8 out of a minimum of 2 billion. That's huge. As I began to think this through in my own life, and I said, you know, I don't know the exact day in which the judgment given to us in Daniel and Revelation will begin. But it's coming. As sure as this was coming, it's coming. And as I watch my children and my grandchildren, my heart aches. Every day my wife and I pray, oh God, help our kids to stay in good relationship with you. Amen? But how many of us are seeing drift? Just like Methuselah did. He saw drift. Such that only 8 out of his massive family, you can imagine how many. Only 8 were there. Holding fast in their faith in God. How did that come to pass? There's 15 similar conditions to today that were present in the days of Noah. Luke chapter 17 talks to us about it. It says that it will be like the days of Noah and the times when the Lord is about to bring his judgment on the earth. Luke chapter 17, verse 26. And it was in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man, his coming. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. What a somber statement. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot. Remember that story? They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded, but in the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Similar conditions. I can give you these in detailed form if you wish. I'll just run through them quickly. These were the conditions that we have from Scripture that were present in the days of Noah. Preoccupation with physical appetites. Rapid advances in technology. Grossly materialistic attitudes and interests. Uniformitarian philosophies. This idea that, oh, it's always been this way, it'll always be this way. There's no big problem coming. Inordinate devotion to pleasure and comfort. No concern for God in either belief or conduct. Number 7, disregard for the sacredness of the marriage relationship. See a number of passages that spoke about this. 8, rejection of the inspired messages from God. Reject it. Oh, that's just his opinion. Noah, he's kind of a fuddy-duddy anyway. Population explosion. Widespread violence, corruption throughout society, preoccupation with illicit sexual activity, widespread words and thoughts of blasphemy against God, organized satanic activity, so true today, promotion of ideas and concepts that fostered abnormal depravity. Lots of things similar to today. As the Bible speaks, it's true. As it was in the days of Noah, so it shall be in the days of the Son of Man. I don't say that to scare you. I say that to bring you to truth. This is God's word. Prepare. God said he will judge again. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 2. That you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last day scoffers, walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continued as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. See, they didn't believe that was going to happen, but it did. The continents were scattered. The entire climate of the earth was changed. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. In those days, it was the ark. Today, it's come to repentance and put your faith in Christ. That's the ark. Then on down to verse 11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Just as the days of judgment fell on Noah, so it shall fall eventually on the earth again. So, parenting before the flood, in the conditions very similar to today. How do we take principles that they were facing and apply them for parenting today? It's not just for mothers, it's for fathers too. You know, Methuselah parented righteously as a father of Lamech, grandfather of Noah, great-grandfather, knowing God's judgment was coming. It's interesting that in the Babylonian Talmud, they had, from Micah chapter 5, verse 5, it speaks about seven shepherds and eight princes that God will raise up to stand against evil. And in that picture, in the Babylonian Talmud, they have seven listed with David in the middle, and on the right, Adam, his son Seth, and then Methuselah. And on the other side, Abraham, Jacob, and Moses. And of course, the Hebrew reading is from right to left. Most of the ancient Farsi and some of these are all, they read from right to left. And that comes out of the original ways in which they use chisels to cue their letters. So today we read from left to right, but they read from right to left. So this picture is kind of a timeline of history. The shepherds of time. And Methuselah is listed there as a great shepherd. Longest living. The symbol of mercy, God's mercy. I see the role of parenting coming out of the Old Testament as one of shepherding. Shepherding. Now the reality is that a shepherd has to accept the sheep that are born. Right? Sometimes there's very compliant sheep, and sometimes there's sheep that are not very compliant. And you figure, how could this be possible? 50% of the DNA from the father, 50% of the DNA from the mother. How can there be such a variety of children come from the same formula? That's God's design. He takes those 46 chromosomes and he puts them together in his own unique way to bring about each individual person uniquely with a purpose. And Methuselah saw many generations. Many generations. I can't imagine the thoughts that were running through Noah, his mind, his wife's mind, his three sons and their wives' mind as they sat on the ark, knowing that all around them, all of their fellow humans were dying. Can you imagine? I can't. They had stayed faithful. Probably one of the greatest cries for us as parents and grandparents to our children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren today is, stay faithful to God. Amen? We got to stay faithful to God. I don't care what the culture says. I don't care what they say is cool. I don't care what they think is hep. Stay faithful to God. Learn from Noah's family. How do we do it? Well, I got eight things here. Number one, be an obedient follower of the chief shepherd. Be an obedient follower of the chief shepherd. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, he says, follow me as I follow Christ. Us as parents, if we're calling our children to be faithful to God, we've got to demonstrate it. We have to be the template. Number two, come to know God's unique design of each of your children. Children are not one size fits all, like shoes. Size 10 shoe, it's pretty much the same everywhere. A little bit different width, but children can be dynamically different. It's not one size fits all. Get to know God's unique design that he's given to each of your children. Number three, feed and train them. Establish clear boundaries and set clear expectations. Lots of scripture here. Proverbs chapter 22. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. What that phrase really means in the Hebrew is discover the natural bent, God's designed bent within your child, and direct them and help them fulfill his calling. Work with the natural bent. What's God's plan and action in the life of this person? I'll tell you, when we had 9 kids, it was so easy for me just to want to parent robotically. Like, you just have one channel. Everybody's the same. Everybody has to follow the same. And I began to learn as they got older and they began to rebel. They began to seek their autonomy. That's a positive way to say it. That I had to learn that, you know what, this one needs it this way, this one needs it this way. You know how hard that is with 9 channels? I felt like I just need this huge channel selector. Okay, I turn it to this one, and this one, this is just switching back and forth. Okay. Feed them. We did a little thing in the school here this week. I had a special on Friday night celebrating moms. The kids in the school put together a little dinner for them, and the kids all wrote out, I love my mom because. Every single one of them said, she feeds me. And some other things too. But I love my mom because she feeds me. Mom, you have no idea how important food is to these little people. She feeds me. Feed them. Train them. Discover their natural bent. Proverbs 29 goes to the extra kind of instruction there. It says there that, correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. Parenting will require confrontation. Parenting will bring about conflict. It's normal. Call them to what is right. Help them to discover God's principles, God's values that are unchanging, that will give them success if they follow them. Deuteronomy chapter 6, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Look for opportunities to teach them about who God is and his values. The Old Testament is full of narrative stories for the sake of sharing them with each other and the next generations of the unchanging God that we serve. 4, lead by example. Share experiences of your daily walk with God. I got some scripture verses there, but you got the picture. Share with them. God answered prayers. Probably one of the most significant moments in my family's life was we were driving in this van that we had from Kelowna back to Vancouver on the Hope Princeton Highway, and we came around the corner on a very hot summer day like today would be, and all of a sudden my van stopped trying to go up a hill, and we kind of coasted to the side. It was 30 some degrees Celsius, and I'm sitting there looking at a van full of, I don't know how many we had, 7 or 8 kids by that time, and I said, well, now what do we do? Hope Princeton, there's not a gas station close by. I said, well, let's just pray. So we just stopped and I prayed, Lord, you know the situation. Man. Could you please come along and give us some support here? I don't know what to do. And this is not fabrication. I got witnesses. We lifted our eyes and right behind us pulled up a police car and stopped to help us. Does that increase your faith? My kids watched it. And he put some in the car and the tow truck, called a tow truck, and we had to go back to Princeton and fuel pump. God answered prayers. Share your prayer needs with your family. If you hear their needs, say, let's pray. Let's put it on a prayer list. See what God will do. Share living, real life experiences of walking with God with your family. Number 5, protect them from evil. Be alert to the enemy's tactics. There's no question that the number one tool that Satan uses is deception. He did it with Eve. He's done it throughout history. He'll continue to do it until the day he's in the lake of fire. He is a great deceiver. He's a father of all lies. And so look for the deceptions. And typically in human life, they play off of two things, either fear or greed. He'll come with deceptions that strike you with fear or strike you with greed. And that'll throw you off track. Be alert to those enemies' procedures and tactics. And take appropriate action to resist evil. Resist evil. Number six, prepare them for shepherding. Yesterday in our family get-together for Mother's Day, I made the point of honoring the mothers that were there, and then I said, and the future mothers, right down to Penny. Future mothers. Exalt the role of motherhood. Don't buy into the culture of the day which wants to dismiss it as less than what is valuable. Prepare them for shepherding. Link autonomy to personal responsibility. This is a parenting class effectively here. But it's so important as we think about the last days to learn from the previous historical case of as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the last days. So we want to follow the same procedure. Now, linking personal responsibility to their autonomy is not easy. Oh, you want to go to bed whenever you want to go to bed? Okay, how much sleep do you think you need? I'm convinced the two greatest challenges for self-discipline in any person's day, having lived 68 plus years, is getting up and going to bed. Those take the greatest degrees of self-discipline of anything in our day. When you get up in the morning, what's your procedure? Do you take care of your body? Do you eat breakfast? Or give something of fuel to your body sometime? Ouch. Any ouches here? Take care of your body. We need to have proper disciplines for when we get up and when we go to bed. I remember younger years, my brother was the kind of guy who just wanted to kind of lay on the floor in front of the fire and just fall asleep and wake up about 2 in the morning and go, oh, yeah, well, I guess I should go to bed, right? That's not very good self-discipline. We need to properly put our body to rest. I'll let you decide whether you brush your teeth or don't brush, all that stuff, right? But do the proper things. Teach children that if you're going to have autonomy, then you've got to demonstrate responsibility. You got to earn that for your own good. These are habits of life. Number seven, pray nonstop. Pray nonstop with thanksgiving. Lots of scriptures that talk about how we are to constantly pray with giving thanks. Pray with thanksgiving. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. Those are the scripture verses. Pray nonstop. And eight will be rewards. Enjoy the blessing of having done your best as a shepherd. Are you ready for it? Watch this. Not based on outcomes. So many times in our parenting, we go, oh, well, look at his family or her family. The kids are just like little perfect saints. They must have parented right. I must be parenting wrong. Watch. Look at Enoch's life. Look at Methuselah's life. Look at Lamech's life. What were the outcomes? Only eight. Only eight. Think they could have been discouraged? Yet Scripture records them as great patriarchs. In our culture today, so much is performance-oriented. We measure everything on how much money you make and how much you this and that. Even churches, you know, how many people got saved? How many people got baptized? What's the offerings like? How many people in attendance? It's all performance-based, but God says, I just want you to be faithful. I want you to do the best with what I've given you to work with, as I think Methuselah did, and Lamech, and Noah, and even Enoch. Enjoy the blessings of having done your best as a shepherd, not on the outcomes, in service to the Lord, our chief shepherd. Now, outcomes can be encouraging. I don't want to dismiss that. But don't let poor outcomes discourage you from stopping, to the point of stopping, to doing the right thing. Do the right thing as honor to God, as your statement of faithfulness to the Lord. And watch how he will bring to pass his will. You know, it says there, Romans 14. I skipped through a lot of scripture because of the time. I often think, well, I should take it all and just keep you here till 12:30. But no, I don't. I'll leave it with you. You can go home and read it. Romans 14, 11 and 12. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. We were having a debate last night around our fire pit about whether we taught our kids to brush their teeth after breakfast. Most of them said we didn't. My wife and I hold strong to the fact we did. They're losing their memory in their old age. I'm not going to give an account to the Lord one day whether Dwight brushed his teeth after breakfast. I'm going to give an account to the Lord one day whether I told him he should. Right? And our kids make decisions on their own. I'll listen to mom and dad. No, I'm not going to listen to mom and dad. I think they're old fuddy-duddies. That's old school. Guess who pays for the dental bills? For a while, until they're on their own. We will not give an account for our kids. We'll give an account for us. Did I do what the Lord gave me to do? Have I done my best with what God has equipped me with to train these kids that he's blessed me with, that they'll somehow bring glory to him? I don't know whether right now as a parent or grandparent you're discouraged or encouraged as you look at your family. How many are walking with God? How many are wavering? How many have rejected? But you may say, oh, God, have mercy on my family. Pray. Pray. Don't stop encouraging them to obey God. It's not too late. Three questions for you. Are you part of God's family? Have you asked Jesus to be your Savior and Lord? You can't pass it on to your kids if you haven't taken that step yourself. Are you living to serve him to the very best of your ability? Are you? He will reward you. We have a role, many roles to play. I'm called by God to give of the best to how he's placed giftings and aptitude and abilities within me to be a good husband, good father, good grandfather. Maybe it's to be a wife, a grandmother, a grandparent. Maybe as a parent. Maybe even as an employee or as an employer. Am I giving of my best to the glory of God? As a citizen, am I serving God, standing for his values as a citizen in our country? A servant, then, also as part of God's kingdom. Am I faithfully serving God as part of his kingdom? Doing my best with what he's given me. It's all different. We've all got different giftings and talents and interests and abilities. He just calls each of us to give what we have back to him to the very best. And watch what he'll do. And one day when we stand before the Lord, with all of that kaleidoscope of life behind us, we long for him to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Amen? Let's pray. Oh God, thank you for your word. Thank you for the example of these patriarchs, these men of old, who too faced incredible evil in the culture around them. so much so that you destroyed most of humanity. Thank you for their faithfulness. Thank you that even in the midst of watching the outcomes not looking very favorable, they stayed true to you. And Lord, grant to us grace that we might do the same. Help us, O God, to give of our best for your glory. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.